Hey, would you please welcome one of my favorite Canadians that I know and one of the shortest names I've ever seen. Ian Bird, the man. Come on.
It is short. It's short, but I have the two of the longest middle names. Yeah, little known fact, little bit of trivia for you while I fix this. Yeah, I will. So, Ian Bird, seven letters total. Then my parents decided I needed two middle names. Clifford Kenneth. Ian Bird. So anyway, I go by Ian Bird. But when I have to fill out my forms for travel, they say, please put in your middle names. And then they talk to you on the phone. They go, is this Ian Clifford Kenneth Bird? I'm like, yes, it's me. Anyway, what a weird way to start. But anyway, thank you, Ryan. I just want to say thank you, first off, to all the team. You know, getting camp going again was like cranking up a machine that had been sitting for 3 years idle, like it hadn't even been running. And so, you know, new people, there's been transitions. So I just want to say a big shout out right now. I mean, obviously we'll thank them at the end, but let's just give a clap. Because the fact that we're here is amazing. And I was just pondering it tonight. You know, the first Lifelinks camp was in 1988 here. And Val and I were here. Who was here in 1988? Ryan King was here. A few of us were here in 1988. So what is that, 34 years ago? Well, we missed, what, two, three? What is it? Two in the middle, yeah. And so we've missed two, but we're back for year 34. And I'm hoping that we have many more years to go. This is a special place for Lifelinks. You know, Val and I were just thinking about that for ourselves and our family, and I bet all of you too. There's just unique things that happen at camp. God does something. There's like a special kind of anointing when we get together in this informal setting. And I want to encourage you to really let the Lord speak to you. And I'm just so pumped that we're even here. You know, during COVID, when we'd have Zoom chats and we couldn't see hardly anybody, I would tell people, I'd say, I'm hyper on the Zoom chat because I was seeing people. I mean, they were digital. Now, for some of those who are more introverted, they're like, it was the best time of my life. But for people like me, it was not fun. And so I am just, honestly, we should give a clap offering to God that we're even here together again. Wow, 3 years. I just can't fathom it. It's been 3 years since we've been here. And if you think about all that's happened in the 3 years, like Val, I remember the shaky, shaky word by Rachel Hickson. Why did she have to give us that word? And it was true, shaky, shaky. I was thinking back to the word that I shared there, and sometimes you talk about things and you don't really understand what it all means. And I don't know if anyone remembers this, but I shared a message based on the fact that David had and his men had to spend time in the cave of Adullam, and that God does stuff in isolated places and we're locked away in caves, and that there's transformation that happens. Well, let me ask you a question. How many of you, like me, felt like you were in a cave of Adullam at times? For some of us, it was just our home, right? Our home became a cave of Adullam. Like, we were trapped in our homes, isolated. I heard that in Canada it was worse. I had some empathy from some Americans who were like, COVID? What COVID? That's almost what they were saying. But I know things are a little lighter down here, but up north it definitely was pretty tight. But you know, whether it was heavy restrictions or lighter restrictions, the bottom line is the world was turned upside down and our lives were stressed. And there was a lot of things that happened over the last 3 years. And here's the thing. We're not completely done with this. I hate to say that, but it hasn't completely gone, and people are still getting COVID, and who knows what's going to happen in the days ahead. Now, I believe in the best days are ahead, and we're not going to go back to some things, but the bottom line is, what does that leave us? Where does that leave all of us? Well, I think it leaves us in a place where there's kind of a weariness. When I talk to people, you know, in these days, I think all of us are encouraged by where we're at, but there's still some things that linger from the last few years. And just because you come out of a season, or maybe mostly out of a season, doesn't mean that some of what happened in the season doesn't remain, doesn't linger. So I want to do a poll here. I want to do a poll because I want to make sure that what I'm going to share with you is relevant. There's nothing worse than standing here sharing something that's irrelevant. So I want to make sure. So I want to ask you, how many of you during the COVID season at some point felt weary, tired, and fed up with the restrictions in the season? Put your hand up if you felt that way. Okay. Well, that's good to know. Let me continue because I want to make sure I get everybody. How many of you are still in some way feeling weary, tired because of the COVID season or other things happening in your life? Put your hand up. How many, if you'd ever put your hand up to this point, I want to ask you a question. How many of you anticipate that in the future, at some point, you'll probably feel weary or tired? Put your hand up. Okay. All right, I feel good now. I feel like I'm connecting with everybody at a certain level. So the reality is, as we start this, I believe that the Lord wants to speak to us right away. And I think the word that I'd give you as we begin is Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I really want to encourage you to come aside at this time and come to the Lord during this camp. We're going to talk a bit more about that, but I really think He wants to meet you. And in the midst of the fun and the recreation and the words that you're going to hear and the worship you're going to have, God wants to do something in your life. He wants to speak to you. I like how it says it here in the Message paraphrase. Here's what it says. Are you tired, worn out, burned out in religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. How many people would like to learn to live freely and lightly? I like that. To live freely and lightly. God wants you to live freely and lightly. God wants to do something. And if you're here and you're feeling the opposite of that, then God wants you leaving here freely and lightly. He wants to do some work. And that's why camp is so powerful, because it gives us an opportunity for God to work in our hearts. So I think tonight I want to give you a picture that I believe kind of expresses how God wants us to rise above the season we're in and how He wants to refresh us. And it comes from one of my favorite passages in the Bible. It's in Isaiah 40. Oh, look at those guys. I appreciate that. I'm starting to think, wow, is there a jet taking off nearby? Anyway, Isaiah 40, 27 to 31. I want to read this to you. And then I'm going to build a picture tonight that I think God's going to give us to help us rise above the season we've been in, but also set us apart for the future. You know what I believe? I believe that in our personal lives, God wants to take us to new levels, and that even the last few years, nothing has been wasted. All the things you've gone through, all the things God's done in your heart and in my heart, I know that the COVID season pushed buttons in me. I know the COVID season dealt with things in me, and I'm sure it has in you. Listen, none of that is wasted. I think God wants to take us to the next level, not only in our personal lives, not only in our churches, but in our network. And so I think tonight there's a picture for you here. As Isaiah 40, here's, I want to read it to you. Why do you say, O Jacob? In the NIV, it says, why do you complain? Why do you complain? Anybody have any complaining at all in the last several years? In the last week? Okay. Anyway, yeah, I'm not going to do another poll. How many anticipate complaining in the future? Okay. Anyway, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God. Sometimes we feel like, God, are you really seeing this? Are you really watching what's going on in my life? Are you going to change this? Where are you? Sometimes we feel that way when times are tough. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, He neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. I like that. He chooses to give power to the weak. Anybody feel weak here tonight? Then you're a candidate for God's power. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. Even those who should be strong and have all the stamina to get through, they get tired and weary. Even them. And the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I love this passage. One of my favorite passages. Psalm 103. You know that one? Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Well, in verse 5, it says this. Who satisfies your desires with good things, so your youth is renewed like the eagles. Another picture. Same picture of the eagle being renewed and rising up above everything. Because an eagle flies really high. We'll talk about that in a bit. And I like the picture. I was reading up on this and looking at it. What's the renewal of the eagle? And one of the things is that the eagle molts every year and loses its feathers and gets new feathers. And it's like a fresh renewal for that eagle every year. And God says, you know what? For you, the old baggage of the last couple years, the things that you're carrying, kind of the old feathers, if you want to use it that way. He says, I want to do something fresh. I want to renew you. I want to change your appearance. I want to take the sadness away. I want to take the grief away. And I want to raise you up again. I want to help you. Now, the picture here is the word wait. And I love this picture. Those who wait on the Lord. What does it mean to wait on the Lord? The Hebrew word that is used there in Isaiah 40 means to bind together, perhaps by twisting strands, as in making a rope. And I love the picture because the idea of waiting on God in Isaiah 40 is us connecting with God and his strength. It's like we are weak, we are unable, but by waiting, we literally say, God, I am choosing to connect with you. I want to connect with your strength. I'm actually going to slow down myself. I'm going to slow down my effort, and I'm going to choose to connect with your effort because I need an infusion of your grace. And we wait on him, and he begins to give us strength and grace. And he begins to pour in new strength that we haven't had before. So waiting is like binding ourselves to God. And it starts with a recognition that we're weak. And I don't know about you, but I don't like to be weak. Does anybody like to be weak? Does anybody like to admit their weaknesses? No. We all want to look strong. Human nature is, I want to be the man. I want to be the woman. I want to be the person of God that has it all together. But it starts with recognizing where we're weak. And I really, 2 Corinthians 12 is a powerful passage by one of the greatest leaders of the New Testament. And if you read this passage and you look at Paul's honesty about his life, about how real he was, about his vulnerabilities. Now, if you look at the first part of 2 Corinthians 12, it talks there about Paul's revelations going up to heaven and having revelations and hearing things he can't even tell you and how amazing God, you know, deals with him. And then it says, to keep me from being conceited. Look at this in verse 7. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I'll boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in the COVID season, in the challenges that we've been through. Paul would be saying, I delight in this because when I am weak, then I'm strong. When I'm at the edge of my own ability, that's where God's ability starts. That's where he can really do something through my life. And I also want to read it in the Message paraphrase because it says it in a way that I think is really fresh. It says this, because of the extravagance of these revelations and so I wouldn't get a big head, I was given the gift of a handicap to keep me in constant touch with my limitations. Satan's angel did his best to get me down. What he in fact did was push me to my knees. No danger then of walking around high and mighty. At first I didn't think of it as a gift and begged God to remove it. Three times I did that. And then he told me, my grace is enough. It's all you need. My strength comes into its own in your weakness. Once I heard that, I was glad to let it happen. I quit focusing on the handicap and began appreciating the gift. It was a case of Christ's strength moving in on my weakness. Now I take limitations in stride and with good cheer. These limitations that cut me down to size, abuse, accidents, opposition, bad breaks. I just let Christ take over. And so the weaker I get, the stronger I become. Isn't that amazing? It's really well said. Yeah. Peterson had quite a way with words. I really like that. So we don't know completely what Paul's handicap was. We don't know what it was. People conjecture that it might have been headaches or bad vision, or it was the tormenting Jews that were harassing him town to town, place to place. We don't know, but all we know is that whatever it was, Paul was kind of like, if you just take this away, I'd be much better off. I could do a greater job for you, God, if you just take this away from my life. Why do I have to deal with this? Three times. And I don't think when Paul went to God three times, it was just like a little prayer. I think God went to Paul three times. I think he fasted and prayed, and he sought God three times, like, take this away. And God says, no, I'm not going to. Because, Paul, you're a pretty strong guy, and on your own, you'd be pretty self-willed, and you'd think you could do it. And so, Paul, this pushes you to your knees. This causes you to depend on me. And so, I'm going to leave it. And you're going to come to me, Paul, and you're going to make it. And then Paul has a revelation, realizes this is actually good. This is actually positive. And so for the rest of his days, however long that was from this point, Paul lives in that. And we see the fruit of it. We see the amazing things that God does in Paul's life. You know what? God is going to do great things, even greater things in your life, in your church, in this network, not in spite of your weaknesses, but because of your weaknesses. Do you hear me on that? Not in spite of your weaknesses, but because of your weaknesses. Because God's going to use them to draw you to himself. You know, and if I'm going to be honest, which I should be, you say, you're not being honest? Yeah, I'm being honest. You know, I have a handicap like this. And really, it's a tendency towards anxiety. And I've struggled with it since I was a kid, just a little boy. When I grew up, you know, before I was five, there was a lot of uncertainty in my life. A lot of turmoil in my family, a lot of moving, a lot of insecurity. And I found a report card recently from grade one that I had. I have a report card from grade one. My mom obviously kept it, and I kept it. I have this little file, and so I read it. It was interesting to read back, you know, 6-7-year-old Ian. And he was doing well in school, but the teacher wrote on the report card. The teacher said, boy, it's tough sharing this, but I need to share it. The teacher said, Ian has stopped crying in school now. He's doing better. And, you know, I know it's not, but I read it, and I had to think about it. I thought, wow, that's, then I thought about it. I thought, wow, that's really sad, you know, that I could remember it. I really hadn't thought about it before that, but then I could remember it. I thought, wow, like, yeah, because we had just moved, and I was late to the year, and we'd moved so much, and my dad had mental health issues, and my mom, I had a handicapped brother, and my mom was dealing with him, and there was so much stress in the family, and I think going to school, I found it hard. And so I got out of that, and I don't cry anymore like that, but... but as a young boy, that's what I was dealing with. And some of that residual has been there in my life. Now I've improved a lot over the years. God's gracious. He's healed me in many ways. He's, you know, he's developed me. But there's still in my life an underlying anxiety. And even all the healing I've had and all the ministry I've had, there's still this undercurrent of anxiety that I don't want. That I think, man, I wish I could get rid of that. If I just didn't have to battle with that. And yet, it's interesting, Diane Harrison, sitting back in the second last row, she prophesied over me once. God bless Diane. It was a good prophecy. She prophesied over me a number of times. But one time, she prophesied, and she said, Ian, you have a weakness, basically. And I thought, well, I have a lot of weaknesses. But she was saying, you have a particular weakness, is what she was saying. She just was picking up, like, you have a particular weakness, but God actually is going to use that weakness to really cause you to know him and to flourish. I knew exactly what she was talking about. I thought, she's talking about the anxiety I have to deal with. That's what she's talking about. That's what God is talking about. And God was highlighting that to me. God was saying, Ian, I want to use this. And so I'm just being very real with you, that that's something I have to deal with. But you know what? It's pushed me to God. It causes me to seek him and say, God, I want to see this clearly. I don't want to be anxious. I don't want to not trust you. I want to trust you, but the only way I can trust you is if I'm close to you and I hear your heart and I sense your grace for me. And I need that every day. Honestly, I'm not somebody that can go days and days without hearing God and being with God. I can't. That's actually good. I think it's good. But I'm not. I know some people can. Some people might be a little stronger that way, but I'm not. I need God every day. I need to hear him. I need him to calm my heart. I need him to speak truth to me. And I'm just telling you this. I'm being real in my own life because I think God wants to speak to you tonight. And he wants to encourage you tonight where you're weak. In fact, I know he does. And he wants to say to you, you're not so unusual. The things you deal with, the things that you're battling through, you're not unusual and you're not unusable to God. You're usable to God. In fact, you're more usable to God. If you'll come to God in that weakness and you'll let him grow you and move on you and heal you and make you a sign to the world. Seriously, it's important. Because what the enemy does is he comes to us and he says, look at you. Look how you responded in that COVID season. Look at the weakness in your life. Look at this about you. Look at this area where you're deficient. You'll never be able to do this for God. You can't rise up and be what God calls you to be. And so what happens is we have a lot of people that just settle and they don't do what God's saying. They don't follow what he's told them to do because they disqualify themselves. God is telling you tonight, you're not disqualified. In fact, your weakness, when given to him, when waiting upon him and receiving his grace, actually qualifies you. Yes. It uniquely creates grace in your life that will bless other people. Lamentations 3:25 says this, the Lord is good to those who depend on him, to those who search for him. So it is good to wait quietly for salvation from the Lord. Again, the picture of waiting. And I want to just talk about this picture of the eagle. Let's go back to Isaiah 40 for a moment. That's where I'm going to kind of go for the rest of this time. Talk about the eagle rising up. This has actually, for me, been a very significant picture. And I want to share that because I think it's kind of interesting how this picture, I think, shouldn't just be interesting for me, it should be for you too. I think God wants to give you an image of who you are. So for me, the whole picture of the eagle started when I was 17. So I was a camp counselor for 5 weeks at a ranch with 12-year-old boys, and I was there for 5 weeks. It was awesome, had a great time. But this particular camp I was at, they decided they were gonna give you a nickname. Everybody got a nickname, okay? So what would happen is the director would meet you, talk with you, you know, watch you over 2 days, and then after 2 days would come and pronounce your nickname, okay? So I don't know what you did for the 2 days, like, I want to be on my best behavior, I don't want to get a dorky nickname, I want a good nickname. So anyway, after 2 days, he comes to me and he says, you are Eagle. And I thought, what? Like, seriously? I was like 130 pounds, I was a scrawny guy. I'm more like Sparrow. I don't think you have Eagle. No, I'm not Eagle. Anyway, and that was proven out, because here's what happened. So what you did is, as a counselor, you'd wait in your cabin, and then on that first time, the parents would bring, you know, the boys to you, and you'd meet the parents, hi, you know, and here's your, oh, great, wonderful, there's your bunk, you know, that kind of thing. So I'd wait in the cabin. I was just, and this is the first week, I wait in the cabin. And this big guy comes in. He's like broad. He's this big, this is Alberta, big, you know, cowboy hat on. This is like a Western ranch camp. And he comes in. It's almost like, you know, in my mind, like, where's Eagle? You know, that's kind of like what it was. Where's Eagle? And I was like, I'm Eagle. It kind of felt like what maybe David felt like with Goliath, you know?
That's how I kind of felt, you know. And it was just weird. I just thought, this is awkward. This is weird. I'm not eagle, you know. Because even he was like, he even said, you're eagle? Yeah, and like, yeah. Yeah, I'm eagle. Anyway, so the whole camp, you know, my kids, they call me Eagle. They never call me Ian. They call me Eagle. And there was other people. There was a lady. Her name was Joy. I don't know what her real name was. She was joyful, so I got why they called her Joy. Anyway, by the end of the 5 weeks, I'd shared my testimony about when my dad died and just how God was gracious. And so the camp director, when he said goodbye to me, he said, you know, I actually think you are Eagle. I just want to say that to you. You are Eagle. You're an overcomer, and that's who you are. And there was something about it, you know, because an eagle's an imposing bird, and it's, you know, it's like a powerful, I mean, it's part of the symbol of the United States of America. I mean, come on, America, right? So I mean, I left there, and that added something to me. So fast forward a number of years, a lot of years, about 11 years ago, 11, 12 years ago, Val and I are going to go plant a church in Calgary, which is now called Forerunner Church. And it was a big season for us. And so all of a sudden, I started getting this Isaiah 40, 31 scripture, like all the time. I had a book that I was given that had it in it. I you know, people were quoting it. People were talking about eagles. It was just wild. So I went to this retreat. I was a mentor for other leaders, and I was on an island near Vancouver. Dave Wells came with me to that same island once. Remember Dave? And so I went to that retreat, and on the way I talked to the leader of Aero Leadership, the president, and he's become a friend. And so I said to him, I said, Steve, you know, Isaiah 40, 31 keeps being highlighted to me all the time. And I don't know what to think about it. And he didn't really say a lot, and he just kind of nodded, and I thought, oh, you know, he didn't really have much to say. The next day, we had a devotional for the, you know, the trainees and then the mentors, and we all had a card. We were given this card, and you were supposed to take the card, go to your room, and then read the scripture and meditate on it. And I remember getting the card, and I thought, this is Isaiah 40, 31. I know it. I didn't even look at it. I just thought, this is that. So I went to my room, and sure enough, slid it up, looked at it, Isaiah 40, 31. I was like, oh my goodness, like seriously, it was just, and so I started thinking about it, I thought, God, you're really speaking to me here, you're really telling me that there's a key here to us thriving in our church plant and in our ministry, and it's here. And so then I went out, and I went down to the main area, and Steve was there, and he poked his head out of the door, and he said, Ian, have you seen the eagles? And I said, what eagles? And he goes, look at the bay. And we turned to the bay, and there was three eagles soaring over the bay, circling around and around. And apparently that wasn't common. And all these trainees and mentors are all studying that passage while eagles are circling. Do you think maybe God orchestrated that a little bit? Telling all these leaders that they needed to learn to rest, they needed to learn to wait on Him, and that God was going to cause them to learn how to soar. It was powerful. It was amazing. And you know what? It really encouraged us as we headed into that season, that we needed to wait on God, that God was going to do the church plant, that He was going to cause us to rise up to new levels. Well, then, third picture here is, I don't know if they, that other picture wasn't real, but the one coming up here, I want to make sure that, yeah, that's a canned picture. But anyway, this one. So this is kind of cool. So in December of 2020, right in COVID, I was at my office praying one morning, and on a Saturday, and I felt like the Lord told me, said, because I mean, it was right in the meat of it, right? December 2020, for us in Canada at least, we didn't have Christmas with our families. I don't know how it was in the States, but we couldn't, like, we did Zoom with our families, and you know, sat there eating food through the camera, you know, watching each other open gifts. That's how strict it was where we were. And Val and I sat on our own, basically, with Addison, who was with us. That's what we did. So in the meat of that, in the whole season, the Lord speaks to me and says, Ian, I'm going to raise you up. And it's going to be like the eagle. He comes back to the eagle again. He says, I'm going to raise you up to new heights, It's not going to be your effort. It's going to be me under you, like the air under the wings of the eagle that soars, and it's not flapping, but it's rising up and up, and I'm going to do that, and I want you to believe me for that. Well, I'm sitting here in the middle of COVID, and all sorts of things going on, and I thought, okay, so I wrote it down. I went home, and I said, we should go for a walk by the river, and it was a nice, you know, winter day. So we went down by the Bow River in Calgary. We were walking along, and this lady comes towards us, and she says, do you see the eagle? I'm thinking, what? I look out, and there's this eagle, this eagle. This is the exact eagle right here. And I say, how did you get that with your iPhone? I didn't. I tried with my iPhone. It was really bad. But this lady with this is like a God thing. This lady with a massive telephoto lens was walking up the trail towards us. And I said to her, I went to her and I said, hey, she was going right for the eagle. She was going to get this eagle. I said, would you get a picture? Would you send it to me? I gave her email. So she sent that picture. This is on my desktop of my computer. This is the eagle sitting by the river. And to me, it was God again coming to me and stressing, Ian, you're not going to do this in your own strength. You're not going to do this by what you have. You're going to do this because of the wind of my spirit coming underneath you as it talks in scripture and raising you up. Now, that's what God has for you too. And the reason I share that is not just to share this picture from my life. It's because this is the picture that God is giving us in Isaiah 40. It's the picture for you. It's the picture for me. Here's some cool details about eagles. They have incredible eyesight and vision. Now, I knew that, but I didn't know how incredible it was. Their vision is up to 8 times stronger than humans. Unbelievable. They're 24 or 25 vision rather than 20/20. Like, they're unbelievably, they weigh around 10 pounds, but their eyes are the same size as humans. Can you imagine? They take up almost 50% of their heads, their eyes. No wonder eagles can see. They are incredible. They can see a rabbit up to 3.2 kilometers away, or for my American friends, 2 miles. All right? Yeah, translation. Wow. And they also... they also can swivel their head 210 degrees. We can't do that. So what I'm saying is, my point is, their vision's amazing. They can see like that. They have the mobility back and forth. And so God is using that animal as a picture for you and I rising up. You and I think, having vision and seeing in a way that is way greater. You know, one of the things that's happened, I think, in COVID-19 is that most people's vision has shrunk. Well, it had to, right? I mean, it really did in some ways. You kind of got into maintenance mode for many of us leading churches. You just, you know, did your best, and you kind of got in the weeds of what was happening. But here's the problem. Here's the problem. When you come out of COVID, if you don't change that mindset, you're still going to be in the weeds. Like, you have to be able to lift up your vision. God wants to take us from this survival mode and the maintenance mode and some of the things we've had to do, and he wants us to dream again. He wants us to see again what he has for us. Really believe that. Some of you here, you've lost your vision, or at least it's been strongly curtailed, and I understand that. I've had that too. God, renew my vision. Help me see again. I've gotten kind of just limited, you know, very small. But God, I need you to help me. And you know what? We can't create the vision. But here's the thing. You and I can put ourselves in a position with God when we wait on him and we depend on him, where he can take us up by his Spirit to a place where we start seeing again the big picture. Did you know that they go up to 15,000 feet? Eagles do. 15,000 feet. I mean, wow, that's a long way up. They have a height, 15,000 feet, and they can travel up to 160 kilometers per hour. I can't convert that quickly, but it's fast, okay? Is that 100 miles an hour? It must be something like that. I think 100 miles an hour. Okay, there you go, 100 miles an hour. So they can fly 100 miles an hour, and they can go up to 15,000 feet. Again, way up above the problems. Above the clouds. They can see at a whole different level than you and I. So why do I say that? Because God wants to do that with us. He wants us to rise up. He wants us to take us tonight from the minimal, lower existence. And for some of you here, he wants to really, for all of us, he wants to put wind underneath your wings again. He wants to start to lift you up. But here's the problem. Here's the problem, and here's what we have to deal with tonight. I've never seen a tethered eagle before, but I understand that 3/4 of all zoos have them. This is an eagle that's tethered, can't fly. And it's obviously why they've tethered it, because they don't want it flying away. They want people to see it at the zoo. They want them to appreciate the big bird, but it's tethered. And when I was thinking about where we were at and where many people were at, the Lord said, my people are tethered. They're eagles. They're called by me to rise, but they're shackled right now. They're tied down. And I want to break that. God tonight wants to break some tethers. I really feel that in my spirit. Some things that have latched onto you, some things that are holding you earthbound, that are keeping you down. He says, I want to break the tethers so you can fly again. I want to break the tethers so you rise up and you can go to greater heights than you thought you could and see more than you thought you could. And I want to give you fresh vision and I want to heal your heart. And I said, well, Lord, what are some of the tethers? And he said, here's some of them. So I'm going to read them out. I want you to consider where you're at tonight, because I really believe that God wants to meet us here at this camp. I think it starts tonight. I think it starts with what he wants to do in our hearts. First is disappointment. I think there's a lot of disappointment with God, with other people, with the situation. It's been a tough time. Coupled with that is grief. You know, I remember Rick Warren early on in the pandemic. I don't know if others of you heard that podcast, but he talked about the tsunami of grief that was going to come. He said, after this thing is over, there's going to be a tsunami of grief. People are going to have to deal with loss. Some will have lost loved ones. Some will have lost, you know, relationships. Some will have lost all this time and special events with their family and all that. If I were to ask you, what have you lost in COVID? You could tell me. Some of you lost people from your church. I know we did. People moved on for various reasons. Some of you lost relationship because someone else was on another side of the fence from you, believed differently than you, and you couldn't work it out. And so they're no longer in your life, no longer in your church. Some of you are divided in your own family. You got family members where you used to be in harmony, but now there's some friction and there's a bit of issue because somebody believes this, somebody believes that. There's massive grief, massive loss. And sometimes we can gloss over it, just say, no, it's okay, I'm all right. You know, it's been hard, but you know, I'm okay. I'm compared to other people. But it's never compared to other people. You should never compare your pain to other people's pain. It's your pain. It's your loss. And part of the way to deal with it is to face it. You know, I've had to do that at times. I had to tell God, I feel, this is how I feel. You know, my wife and I went to a leadership retreat in BC here in early June. And I had some benefits money available on my benefits plan for counseling. And so it's Tony Schneer, for those that watched our thing that we put on for, you know, for people to deal emotionally with COVID and all that. Tony Schneer, a great counselor. So I had 4 sessions with him. I burned up all my... Sorry, Jody. I was just thinking of Jody. Like, there's no money for Jody now. But anyway, but I burned up all my benefits plan, and but I had 4 sessions. It was so good. And, you know, it wasn't complicated. It was just more like I needed just to talk about some things. And he asked good questions. I needed to process where I was at and why I was feeling the way I was feeling. You need to do that. Can I encourage you with something? Don't be ashamed to do that. I'm telling you, I did that. I don't think that's wrong. I think it's a good thing to do. And sometimes we just think, oh, no, I don't want to. No, deal with it. Talk about it. And in that talking and discussion, God is able to work and move and speak to us and bring some healing and bring some. I came away better. Came home and thought, okay, like I feel some renewal. I feel some strength in my soul. I feel like I dealt with some things. that I wasn't dealing with, that I was just kind of pushing it away. Need to deal with these things. Grief and loss. Lingering fear and insecurity. You know, COVID pushed on fears and insecurities all over the world, didn't it? If somebody was dealing with insecurity and you know, those kind of issues, man, oh man, like that was the time to really feel it. So here's my encouragement for you. If that's the case, then push into that. Let that be an opportunity. I told our church at times, I said, let's not waste a good pandemic. You know, like when you're in the pressure, let feel it. Let God do something. Like sometimes you only see the tough stuff when you're in the hard times. And so when we come out, we're like, oh, it's all good again. And we never deal with it. So maybe when you're right in it, maybe even now as you come out of it, say, God, there's some issues in my life. I want to rise up like the eagle. I want the tethers to be taken off my feet. And there's some tethers I have. So God, I'm not going to just ignore it. I'm not going to go around the mountain again. Would you come and heal me? Would you come and set me free? I want to encourage you with that. It's so, so important. Like I said, relational loss and division. That's a big one. That's a big one. Losing friendships. Losing people that have walked with you for years maybe and they're gone now. How do you deal with that? You need God to help you deal with that. Maybe it's unforgiveness. Maybe you're even angry at God. Right? Just angry at God about a lot of things. Then be real about it. God wants to set you free. I love these scriptures. Psalm 91 says this, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. I like the picture of the fowler's snare. You know, I know it's a hunter of birds, but it's the same picture, right? He'll save you from the tether. He'll save you from what is holding you down and what is stopping you from rising up. He'll save you from that. He wants to save you from that. Psalm 124, 7 and 8 says, we have escaped like a bird from the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. We've escaped. God wants you to escape tonight. He does. I really felt that. He says, I want to break some tethers. I want to get some eagles soaring again. And see, again, like the cool part about the eagle is, you know, an eagle will flap its wings to get going. But when you look at an eagle, like, you don't think about that. You're like a wild eagle. Like, you'd be like, that eagle's nuts, right? If you saw an eagle doing that, like, eagles start, but then, like, they ride the thermals. When I was out in British Columbia watching those eagles in the bay, they were doing this. They were circling around and around, and they were catching the thermal updrafts, and they were going higher and higher and higher. And the energy to get up there was not them. The energy was their positioning. All they were doing is positioning their wings and who they were so they could pick up the wind. God wants you to position yourself so he can come underneath you and lift you up. This isn't about you madly flapping. And how many people have done that? You know, you've tried, right? Get the church bigger. We got to do this. Get more flapping. Let's flap. Flap harder and maybe it'll happen. And God says, no, that just looks dumb, right? Like, it's not... like position yourself. I'll come underneath you and I'll help you and you'll start. And that's what God was telling me in December 2020. He was saying, I'm going to raise you up. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. Yes, in a pandemic and in spite of everything, but it'll be me. It'll be me. And if we want to add the aspect of weakness to it, it'll be me through your weakness. That's the picture. It's all me. All you're doing is position yourself and surrender to him. And some of you really need to hear this tonight. Some of you have really been flapping. And God wants you to rest. Even coming out of this, he wants you to trust. There's no shame in being weary. He says, come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I want to play that song. There's a song by Melissa Helser called Catch the Wind. I really debated whether to play it or not. I don't usually do that. But I'm going to play it. I don't know if some of you will have heard it. It's such a perfect song. I have a video that actually has the words, but I want to encourage you to listen to it because I really feel it's prophetic. And I think it's prophetic of your declaration from your life. When you listen to this, think of yourself stating this and believing this is who you are, because that is who you are. So let's run that if you got that available. right. It's a powerful song, isn't it? Really think about that. I just love that song. It's one of my favorites. I want to encourage you. Ryan is going to play some background music. Thanks, Ryan. And I want to open up the front here tonight for you to come and pray. And I want to ask a couple things. If there's some people that want to pray with, there's two things you can do. You can come up, you can just kneel down. And if God stirred you and he said, look, I want to break some tethers. I want you to bring some things to me. The first step, just come. Kneel here. I can think of multiple times for the past 30 plus years of being here at the front and having God touch my heart and speak to me, right? So just even tonight, just coming and kneeling here and saying, God, I just got to lay this down. So if that's you, do that. And if you want someone to pray for you, in fact, you know what? Let's go with that. But I think if you do want someone to pray with you, we can have some people available as well to pray and just pray the Holy Spirit would fill you tonight. But I just feel to open this up and just come down. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Bring those things to the altar tonight and lay them down. Whatever they are, whatever touched you from what I shared. Say, God, I want to rise up again. I want to rise up like the eagle. Untether me. Unshackle me tonight. And I want to leave something here, and I want to take it with me. Come on down.